Some of the best weeks of my life were spent in the woods at Camp Challenge. And how many of you have been to Camp Challenge as a kid or sent your children to Camp Challenge? Let me see those hands. You know what? They don't make them like they used to. That's all I'm going to say. Brian, tell us what's coming up this summer, will you?
Well, greetings from Camp Challenge. I'm Brian Klein. I'm the executive director of Camp Challenge and a 1992 graduate of South Knox just down the road, so it's good to be back this direction. Camp Challenge exists to make followers of and leaders for Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we're there. It's been that way since the late 1950s, and we continue on in that direction. We are thrilled that so many students from this church and from other Church of God congregations come to Camp Challenge. I would like you all to know that our biggest growing group of kids are people who don't go to church. It's amazing that God is using Camp Challenge to reach out to kids that may not otherwise hear the gospel of Jesus. So we're happy to be there. It's an honor. This year is overwhelming to us and encouraging, but we have so many more campers registering. It's a blessing, and it's also a little scary. We're so thankful that this church helps get kids there, donates as a congregation, and volunteers. Some of you even donate for individual projects, individually, like our mower and our basketball court, a roof repair, all those kinds of things. So thank you so much for those things. I just want to say our theme this summer is reflect. We get to talk about how we reflect God to the world around us as Christians. So it'll be a great summer. I'll be out in the lobby to talk afterwards. We have some volunteer opportunities, and just want to answer any questions I can about getting students to camp this summer. So thank you for letting me be here. I appreciate it. Yep, sure.
Okay, I want to say one thing about marketing. When did you start going to churches?
Oh, 3 years, 2014.
This guy's a good business brain right here from the Church of God in Vincennes, okay? But you started in January this year visiting? And
yeah.
He started in January. He's going, he's booked until May, speaking to churches. And, you know, it looks to me like he's got it down to a really short amount of time. But he's given up his life, and his family comes with him when they're not sick and able, and they are trying to get to know congregations here. What I'm holding him up here for is it's a lonely job in the woods in Camp Challenge, and then it gets insane for eight months probably, but he's filling the retreat center round the clock. This guy is doing all the things you would hope to do. And our budget funds Camp Challenge. And what I'm pitching is there are some construction things that we have it within us to do. And one of them needs done fairly soon at Camp Challenge. And so, see this face? Got two great kids and a wonderful wife. He's one of us. But I would like you all to get to know him a little bit better. And I think there's a service project or two that we would really enjoy in the Woods and Camp Challenge. And so he's not a real pushy, all-about-me guy, but look him up outside. And I believe that he's doing evangelism in an awesome way. And some of us that aren't able to go spend a week in the cabins with kids running the hills can still support and serve and have his back and pray for the work that happens at Camp Challenge. Thank you for coming.
Thanks,
and serving.
I appreciate it.
So proud of you. Kay, it's time for that.
Okay, can you all hear me okay? Hopefully, so. About a month ago, I was sitting in an elders meeting, and Pastor Mark was telling us all about his upcoming plans, when he was going to be gone, schedule and stuff for the next month, month and a half. And he said he was going to be gone this week, and so he needed somebody to fill in. He looked at me and said, "Daryl, maybe you can fill in. Maybe you can talk. We've been going through the elders, giving each of us an opportunity to speak and share. One of the duties as an elder is to be able to teach. And so, yeah, I probably should be up here, but my first thought was, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not able to do that. I'm not a preacher." So I sat and thought about it. Didn't really give Mark an answer that night, but the next morning I emailed him back and said, "Let me think about it and pray about it. I'll let you know." As you can tell, I'm up here, but I went through some time struggling. Took me about a week and a half or so, and I finally got back to Mark and said I would do it. During this time, I kind of felt like Moses. And it's the verse that we have. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?'" I felt kind of like that. Who am I that I should stand? It's just me. I'm not anybody special. I don't really have enough to say. Nobody really want to hear what I'm talking about. But God kept saying, "Yeah, I want you to do this." So here I am. Finally submitted and told Pastor Mark, "Yeah, I'll come up here and talk. Don't know what I'll say." So I asked him, "Do you have a schedule for what you're talking about? What will my topic be?" He said, "Well, I don't really have anything worked out yet." But he said, "I just want you to share your testimony. Just want you to talk about what God's been doing for you and through you in the last 3 months or so." First thought was, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about God and God's word. You know, give me a passage, something to talk about, something that I can look up and research, something I can have Bible verses to go with, something that'll be easier to do. But I felt like God was saying, "Yeah, this is for you. This is what you're supposed to do." So I'm here. So I should share with you kind of what was going on. For some of you that don't know, I know a lot of you do. But back in December, we were getting ready for Christmas. Ian and I were baking cookies and shopping and just all the stuff you normally do getting ready for Christmas, thinking about what our plans were going to be. And I got a text from my sister, lives up in Bloomington, Illinois, about 5 minutes or so away from my parents. And she said Dad had called and Mom had taken a fall. She was bleeding pretty bad and he didn't know what to do. And so she left work and came home, came over to their house. They couldn't get the bleeding stopped, so they called the ambulance, took her to the hospital. She said that she didn't really know what was wrong yet. They were going to run some tests and things, and she'd get back to us after she knew more. Come to find out, my mom has dementia, or had dementia really bad. It's to the point where sometimes she'd remember you, sometimes she wouldn't. The one thing two things she always wanted to know was, where was her purse and where was my dad? That was her two things that she took comfort in. And Dad had got up from where they were sitting in the room. They always sat and watched TV and read and did different things in. And he needed to go down to the basement to get something. And he told Mom, "Just stay here. I'll be back in a minute." And he'd done this a number of times. And she'd usually stay there, or maybe she'd get up and walk around the house a little bit looking for him. But it was always okay. So he went down to get whatever it was he needed in the basement. He was only gone a couple minutes and came back to find her laying in the hallway at the top of the stairs, bleeding. She got up looking for him and went to see if he was out in the garage. Going out to the garage, there was a couple steps going down, and she had tripped on the stairs and fallen and hit her face on a table that was sitting there by the stairs. Ended up breaking her nose, some cheekbones, bones in her upper lip. It was just really bad. From this, it was about a week and a half or so later, she ended up passing away just due to complications from that fall. We got to be there with her some before she passed away, and we'll share more about that later. But anyway, after she passed, we met with the funeral home, met with the pastor. We all decided she'd passed away on December 22nd, just before Christmas, so we all decided we'd wait until after Christmas for the funeral. And Deanna and I decided to come home, kind of try and have some Christmas at home and kind of relax for a few minutes in our own house, get stuff ready to go back for the funeral. So we came home on the 23rd, pulled into our driveway, and the first thing I said, oh no, and Deanna looked at me and said, what? And I said, look, and she looked over, and there was a large tree that had fallen, laying on our house. This tree was 9 foot in diameter at the base. It was a huge tree, covered from the back of the house all the way to the front. First thought was, the house is destroyed. We'll have to start over. But we got out, kind of looked around things, tried to figure out what to do at this point. I got on the phone for the insurance company to get them notified and to find out what they wanted us to do at that point. Deanna got on the phone to make some phone calls to try and get some help to get the tree cleared off enough to where we could at least get some tarps put on because it was starting to rain. She made one phone call, or actually she made two. She made one to her brother first, who was still at work and couldn't come. He drives a truck and he was quite a ways away. Second phone call she made was to Pastor Mark, and he said, okay. Next thing we knew, about an hour or so later, we had 11 guys show up in our yard in their trucks. They had tarps, lights, chainsaws, saws, everything you'd need to kind of clear things off, boards, nails to nail the tarps down with. It was kind of amazing. We had the church show up in our yard that day. They got the call and they came to help. Sorry. We even had one guy who was over at his sister's house for Christmas. His brother-in-law said, come on, we're going, so he came with. Didn't even know us, didn't know anything about us, but he came to help. It's just the way God works. Well, that's what Pastor Mark wanted me to talk about. You know how earlier I said I felt kind of like Moses? Moses complained and talked to God, saying he didn't want to do this, said he couldn't speak, and God said, I'd give you the words. Moses still complained and said he didn't want to do this, and so God gave him Aaron to speak for him. Well, God didn't give me somebody to speak for me, but he did give me somebody to speak with me. So Deanna's going to come and share a little bit as well, and then I'll come back and share some more.
Am I on? Yes. I brought Jesus with me, so hope you all did too. Some of this will probably be a rerun. You heard some of it, but we kind of just wanted to talk about it through both of our eyes. So, like he said back in December, One minute it was routine, and I love routine. I'm a routine girl. Get me out of my routine. I'm not happy. And the next minute, I mean, it was like life went high speed off into the weeds. And we're like, wow, what happened and how did we get here? And we sure didn't see any of this coming. I mean, suddenly we were back and forth to Bloomington. I think it was 6 times in a week. And they're on a different time zone, so changing time zones every time, that got real interesting. And it kind of, once we found the tree, it was, Christmas kind of disappeared. But I know everyone goes through losing their parents at some point, but this was our first time up at bat. And trust me when I tell you I'd be thrilled if Jesus comes first and we don't got to do that again, because no fun. I think probably the beginning of it that stands out in my mind is when we called to talk to Daryl's dad, Raymond. And he's kind of stoic, kind of reserved, doesn't show emotions easily, kind of a awkward hugger. But he's mellowed a lot over the years. And I remember talking to him on the phone that Saturday afternoon, and he was crying. And that just broke my heart. Because he was blaming himself. He's like, I shouldn't have left her. And we're like, oh, my gosh, nobody could have done more than he did in all the years that he took care of her. He's 92 years old, and he was still taking care of his wife that had dementia. So we decided to head that way and headed to the hospital. There's Daryl's mama. That was last Mother's Day. And that was when we first saw her in the hospital room. And at first, when we saw her poor little face, we were like, do we have the right room? Is this her? Because everything was broken and swollen and bruised. I always feel like my heart is directly grafted into my husband's heart. So I wasn't going to let him go through one moment of this alone. I was glued to him. But it was when we saw her that we thought, well, okay, things are worse than we thought. And she had started to be not able to swallow. And she had a swallow test the next morning. And if she failed that, we knew things weren't good. Because then we were looking at decisions like feeding tubes and things like that. And she did fail the swallow test. And so that's when we realized things were more dire than we thought. And we started to learn words like palliative care. I remember sitting in the room looking at that word on the on her board. And I'm like, palliative, what is that? I had to, but palliative care, comfort care, just keeping her comfortable, making sure that if we could help her not to have pain and that she wouldn't. And so at that point, we had just packed. We were thinking, you know, we're going to go see her. We were still thinking she was going to be okay, that she would go to a nursing home now. So now everything was different, and so we had to run back home because we'd just packed for like an overnight, and our poor cat, Sophie, did not have food and water. And so we ran home to take care of her. And we were going to leave that day like noon because we were trying to get back on the road. But we kept, for whatever reason, we kept not leaving the hospital. It just kept not working out. And it was the coolest thing that right after we decided we're not doing a feeding tube and we realized we probably only had a matter of days with her. And then the girls were getting, Daryl's sisters, he's got 3 sisters, were getting ready to go to the chapel and we were getting ready to head out. And she suddenly just sat up in bed. And was alert and was talking to us as well as she could, and she seemed to know us. And none of it had been like that. I mean, she didn't always know us on a day when she was okay. So, and we asked her if she wanted to try to eat some ice cream because she loves ice cream, Johnson family trait. And she said, you know, that she did. And the nurse got her some ice cream, and she was actually taking it. And the nurse is like, well, if you like ice cream, I got vanilla, I got chocolate, I got strawberry, what do you like? And she got this total Phyllis grin on her face and she said, all. She liked all the ice cream. So, I mean, that was just a precious moment because it was so her. And After that, we asked her if we could sing to her, and it was the five of us, and we started singing hymns. And this sweet lady who half the time didn't know our names, she started singing with us. And she knew the word to every hymn, and we're standing there around her bed, and even when she couldn't get the words out, she was mouthing the word to every hymn. And I knew when it was happening, this was a gift. It was a gift from God. It was those last moments, and after that time, I mean, she was never really alert and able to communicate too much with us again. So that was God, big time. In those moments, I would have expected to be totally distraught and upset, and we were. I mean, trust me, there was tears, but there was peace. There was overwhelming peace. At one point, I was walking around the hospital, up and down the hallway, trying to keep my emotions together, and I saw this quote on one of the hospital computers. It's because of faith, we exchange the present for the future. I'm like, wow, how true is that? Because of our faith, we're looking forward to a future with Jesus. That's why there's hope, because this wasn't it for her. She'd live a life loving Jesus, and this was her reward. This was a good thing. And we were kind of able to look at it like that. When my dad, who's here, was first diagnosed with cancer, that was a few years back, I was scared to death. I'm going to lose my dad. And I remember I had a moment where I asked myself, well, you say you're a Christian. You say you're a Jesus girl. You say your faith means something. Well, here we are. Does it or doesn't it? How are we going to get through this? I decided it did mean something. I was going to walk through that. Choosing to believe God. Choosing to trust Him even when nothing around you looks like you want it to. And when I saw that quote, Daryl and I felt like it was in. God kept putting the word hope in front of us. We were sad to lose our mom, but instead talking about a reward and remembering she had osteoporosis real bad and was very leaned over. That's why she broke her face so bad. She was going to be able to walk and be standing up straight. And her hands were all crippled with arthritis. No more arthritis. And no more confusion and constantly wondering where you are and who people are. It reminded me of this scripture. And regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them people like who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. Remembering that we have hope even in death. So after that, we did head home, and then we wished they wouldn't have, but insurance and all that decided she had to move to a nursing home. So she was moved to a nursing home, and we came back quick as we could to spend a day with her, or as many days it was going to take. But even at that time, Daryl was already starting to feel God's voice that it was just going to be a day or two, that it wasn't going to be that long. And that's Daryl with her in the nursing home. Actually, that was the last goodbye before she passed away. And again, I know I said it earlier, but I mean, through every part of it, I wanted to be with him and not have him have to go through anything alone. I feel like God makes you one. How do you not go through that together? It affects both of you. He also got peace sometime during the day, that day, December 22nd, 21st, and he felt like she was going to want to be alone to pass away. And at first we felt like we're not leaving, you know, till she was gone. But he got peace during the day about that. And there were some things we read online about signs to look for when someone's dying, to know when, you know, the end was closer, and it talked about that. And actually, when he said that, it made sense, because I said, well, there's no way she was going to leave with all her kids there. I mean, kids are there, mom's staying. But it was just like that she wanted the privacy. And so we stayed as long as we could that night till we were falling asleep, and it was well after midnight when we left. But he said his goodbyes, and knowing, and the next morning when we got up, they had called him, and they had found her, that she'd passed away around 7 that morning. So we did funeral arrangements, and we didn't have to do a whole lot because mom and dad had done a whole lot of that already, so that was a blessing. Got back in the car and headed home, thought, well, okay, let's just try to just have calm and have Christmas over the weekend. And that's when Daryl said we pulled back in the driveway to that. I mean, my poor little 1,000-square-foot house versus a 9,000-square-foot tree. But I mean, it was just, it was overwhelming. Who expects to see that? So we go in, and room after room, we're thinking, we're going to see tree, you know. And nowhere inside the house, there was no tree. The house inside was okay, as far as we could tell. And so he said, like, you know, we both got on our phones. And then, like he said, you church men showing up in the yard, I think it was worth having a tree fall on my house to feel so loved, because you guys are amazing. It was the church. I mean, the church is not a building. The church was in my yard. And Daryl needed you. I mean, he was just on pure function at that point. And so God bless you for helping us. The amazing thing is, and Jeff was just, and his guys have just fixed our house, we talked about it, that tree hit in probably the one and only place on the house that it wouldn't destroy the house. Our house is small, and there's a load-bearing wall that goes down the center of it, and then there's the back wall, and it hit directly at the intersection of those two walls. And that's why it didn't end up in our basement. That's God. I remember a moment at the back door when he was getting coat and stuff on to go back out to try to start cutting branches, and we're both dazed and like, was this really happening? And I grabbed hold of him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm always one that's like, tell me the worst case scenario, like I need to prepare myself. And I said, what does this mean? Is our house destroyed? Could this have hurt the foundation? Or what? You know, what does this mean? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, it could. And I said, well, what if it did knock it off the foundation? And he said, we're going to have to tear down and start over. We just paid off our house in October. I'm like, okay. And I just remember standing there hanging on to each other. I'm crying. He's just trying to think straight. And we're both going, God, what are you thinking? Are you crazy? Why? Today? Really? Why is this happening today? You know, of all times, why? But you know, it's okay to cry out to him like that. I mean, he can take it, and he knows how I feel anyways. And Daryl went back out, and it wasn't too long after that, and always I know it's God's voice, because it's just like this calm, it's like a line that just goes through my head, and it was just starting in with that assurance. He's like, it looks bad. He's like, but you just wait. It's just going to end up needing the roof repaired. It's going to be fine. And I just started feeling peace about it, trusting him. So we got it tarped. Thank you to the guys. Daryl was up on the next day, most of the day in the pouring rain, re-tarping, repositioning, finding new holes that were leaking. And finally that evening we were heading back now to deal with the funeral. And we're in the car, and sometimes he has trouble falling asleep, so I'm trying to keep us talking and entertained. And I found a video on Facebook that said it was like hope, there's that word, hope for those who might be hurting during the holiday season. And so we watched it, and I want to show it to you. And fasten on your listening ears, because this guy talks fast. But I'm going to review for you, but take a look at the video.
Jeff here. It's been a long time since I've made a video, so I thought I would just jump into it. Now, Christmas season is coming. Hot cocoa, Kenny G. Shout out to Kenny G. Anyone else? Now, the truth about Christmas is it is actually deeply a story about hope amidst of suffering and hope amidst of hurting. Now, the first thing we learn from the Christmas story is how much hope is actually in Jesus's name. We sing about it, O come, Emmanuel, but a lot of us don't actually talk about what that means. And Emmanuel actually means God with us. It's not God aloof from us, God distant from us. And think about how all other world religions, that's really what is actually being portrayed, is that God is far away, he is distant, he has his back to you. And if you want to do a certain amount of things, pray this way, act this way, eat this way, then you can climb the ladder and hopefully get to him at the end of time. The narrative we see in scriptures is that God, we couldn't do it. We are hurting, we are frail, we are broken because of other people's sin or because of our sin or decisions they've made or decisions we've made or just the evil and corruption of the world. And God says, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and enter into their story. And that's why John is so explosive in the first chapter, because it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word means tabernacle or temple. That word dwelt in Greek, meaning he pitched his tent in our backyard, in our life. He is with us. Do you believe that he's actually present with you in your hurting, in your suffering, also in your joy and also in the good seasons, but he's specifically with you and enters into your story in the hurt? When you believe that, it changes everything, because you are not alone. He is present with you. And here's the thing, he never does promise to take away our hurt or take away our suffering, but he promises to always be with us in it and while we're going through it, so we never have to do it alone. He will carry the burden, and we do not have to walk the road by ourselves. Another thing the Christmas story reminds us of while we're hurting is that we can cling to his promises. So many times we get to these places where we understand God's truth or we understand God's promises, but then we forget about them when darkness hit. And I think I love a quote I heard that said, you know, basically, don't forget what God said on the mountaintops when you're in the valleys. Or basically, don't forget what God said in the light to you when you're in the dark. Because in those moments, he gives you revelation and he gives you special promises, maybe that you can see with a different clarity that then you could take advantage of in the hard season. And what we see is that whatever he says is true. Just like the Old Testament narrative had this arc of people waiting, and there was this anticipation and all this hurt and angst and suffering and exile, but yet God said he was going to send someone who was going to make it right. And that was Jesus. And he did. He fulfilled his promises. So cling to his truth, cling to his word, cling to his promises in the hard time. Now, this is the third tip, or the third thing we can learn from the Christmas story that I think is the most important. And that's, don't be so focused on what you want kind of healing or God to pull you out of suffering to look like, that you actually miss what he's doing. And also, kind of a cousin of that is, don't be so focused on trying to get out of the suffering that you miss maybe what you can learn in it. Now, think about how this is actually the story of Jesus, right? There was this Old Testament arc, this Old Testament anticipation and waiting, and people were waiting for the Messiah, but they started to get this image conjured up that continued to solidify of this person who was going to storm in as a king, kill the Roman enemies, and totally restore the nation of Israel, and that is what the Messiah was going to look like. And yet, because they clung to that picture so deeply, they actually missed what God was doing right in front of them. He didn't come as this righteous king to defeat the Roman enemies. He actually came as a humble baby, a vulnerable baby. And instead of crushing his enemies, he actually said to love his enemies, bless his enemies, pray for those who persecute you, he said. And on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that cross is the ultimate picture of the actual moment that looked like defeat, that looked like to them was the end of their story, was actually the moment of victory. That's why we wear it around our necks, because Jesus actually completely turned the cross on its head. It was a weapon of torture, a weapon of execution, and it's now actually a symbol of hope in some regards, because he turned the tide, and specifically 3 days later, resurrected to show that death does not win, suffering does not win, hurt does not win. There is hope, there is resurrection, there is life. So know that. Don't be so stuck on what you want it to look like that you miss how God is actually going to bring healing and hope and resurrection in your life. And then the other ones, don't forget to cling to his promises. It is never in vain. They do come true. You can wait on him. He is good. And lastly, his name is Emmanuel. He is God with us. You can trust that. You can soak in that. You can rest in that this Christmas season. So please be encouraged. I love you guys. Thanks for watching.
Fast talker, right? I thought his points were so good, though. they're in your bulletin, so you don't have to try to scribble them down quickly. But the 3 points he made are, the first one, that there is hope in Jesus' name, that he's Emmanuel, which means God with us, that he's not God aloof, he's with me, I'm not alone. And we sang the song Dwell this morning, and Pastor Mark talked a few weeks ago about how God dwells. How does he dwell here? In us. He dwells in us, that's how he dwells. Number two, we can cling to his promises. Don't forget what God said in the light when you're in the dark. Don't forget what he said on the mountaintop when you're in the valley. And you have to choose to remind yourself. I mean, in those times, do my emotions feel like thinking of that, or do I feel like pouting? Well, I feel like pouting, but I have to choose to remember what he tells me to do when things are bad. So I have to choose to remind myself and remember. And this one was the biggest one to me. Don't be so focused on what you want or trying to, what kind of healing you're looking for, wanting to get out of your suffering, that you miss what he's doing. I mean, like you said, they had Jesus right there with him, with them in the Bible, and they missed, totally were missing what he was doing. There's hope amidst suffering and hurting, and the peace that you feel is that peace that passes understanding that we talk about. And in this verse, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you are in Christ Jesus. And there's steps in that verse, if you see them, that first we have to choose not to worry. Don't worry about anything. Then we have to instead choose to pray about it. Pray about everything and tell God what you need. And then it tells us to be thankful. Be thankful that he hears us. Be thankful that he's going to answer us. Be thankful that he's got a plan. And then the peace of God, then you'll have that peace that passes understanding. So I'm thinking, okay, in the middle of this situation, what was God doing? Where did I see him working? That peace that doesn't make sense. So many times through the last couple of months, sometimes people are like looking at me like, why aren't you like ranting and raving and upset? And like almost can't understand why I'm not freaking out. Well, because God's got this. The hope that we had even as she was dying, remembering that death was a reward, and that there could be peace even in the midst of that. That the tree didn't destroy the house. I mean, it hit in that one place, a tree that measured 9 foot around the trunk. This is a special one to me, but getting to meet my husband's needs. Some of the worst things that we have been through, infertility comes to mind. Those moments coming together and helping each other and ministering to each other, those are some of my favorite memories of us. Those things, how we could help each other and be with each other in the bad times. And this was the same. The love of the churchmen. Getting to talk with Jeff. I got to hear Jeff's testimony. Talking one day where we're working on the house. And hearing him say, and I have said the same thing, what do people do that don't know God? What do they do? I don't know how they get through things like this. $1,000 deductible got credited to us because of the men's tarping and because of Daryl re-tarping after the tree came off. And that just doesn't happen. The insurance company don't like to give away that money. Bills for repair that we thought were going to be like double, and then when the invoice was handed over, it was less. Protection in the storms. We had tarps from December to just a couple weeks ago. And a couple weeks ago, there was that bad storm with tornadoes in the area and high winds. And we were both able to go to bed and sleep that night and weren't up worrying. And there was tarps on my roof. I mean, I was so sure. I'm like, what if the winds come through here? Those tarps are gone, you know. And we slept through the night. And there was not one leak. We didn't lose one tarp. It was like God's hand was right over. I mean, in a Sunday school lesson recently, we were talking about Lazarus being raised. Jesus said that this bad thing happened. Lazarus died because it was for the glory of God. He can redeem bad things. And our bad thing, it was for the glory of God. Hearing God more clearly through the repair, through needing the weather to cooperate so we could get the repair. There was one point I was feeling pretty discouraged about that because we couldn't get 3 days without in a row without rain. And at one point, just crying out to him about that and just starting to feel assurance, it's going to be next week. They're coming next week. And they came next week. And once I started feeling that way, nobody could have told me otherwise. I knew they were coming Wednesday, and they did. It reminded me of in Facing the Giants. There's a guy in that movie that tells the coach a story about that there's two farmers that prayed for rain. And only one farmer went and prepared his field. And so which prayer do you think God answered? The one that believed him. They went and prepared his field. And I realized the reason I was hearing him more clearly wasn't because like my prayers are better or more desperate, or it was because I was believing him. How many times do we not realize that we are not believing him? We have to believe him, not just believe in him, believe him. So for me to close, I feel like I'm becoming little old Deanna here, age 50, but I feel like I'm finally starting to wise up about some things. And no one likes trials or hardship. No one wants to lose their mom. But it's a broken, messed up, scary world that we live in, and bad stuff happens. The hardest time in my life have been the times I've leaned the most on God, times I've felt the closest to him, because those are the times that get our attention, and those are the times that we're hanging on tight with both hands. So look for the good. Believe him. If you're staring at your problems, you aren't looking at Jesus. I can focus on why did a tree have to fall on my house the day after we lost Phyllis, or why, God, what are you doing? Or I can choose to see that he took care of us, and he still is. It didn't destroy the house. And we are grieving, but there is peace and hope and good memories and a wonderful mom who raised a wonderful man who is a wonderful husband. Have we faced it perfectly? No. There was one Saturday in particular where we had it leaking in three rooms, and we were not happy with God, the house, the rain, or each other. It was not a good day. But even then, God understands. It doesn't mean that I didn't have his peace. We're just human, and we're going to have weak moments. Bad things will happen, big-time stuff, like watching Daryl's poor little mom who was so emaciated, struggling to breathe, watching him go through that, my husband. But while those things are happening, he's taught me that you can have peace, and you can handle it all from a place of peace and calm. And I'm thankful for that. And Daryl's going to share a few things with you. Come on, Jesus.
So what have I learned from this experience? First thing is that God's always with us. No matter what we're going through, God's always there. Through the good times and the bad times. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. After all this happened, over the next week or so, I kept asking myself, you know, why is this all happening at once? I even called out to God at one point because I was upset and just asked God, you know, what are you doing? Why is this happening now? You know, one of these things happening is bad enough, but why both? Not sure exactly what the answer is. Not sure I really got an answer, but I know that God was working there. God provided us with peace. He gave us his peace and understanding through this that no matter what happens, he's there. He's always with us. You know, that day that the tree fell on the house and we were trying to figure out what to do and we made the one phone call to Mark, we both felt like God showed up that day. He showed up wearing blue jeans and Carhartt coats. You know, in Jesus' time, he showed up wearing robes because that's what people wore that day. So he wore the clothing of the time. That day, he showed up in blue jeans and Carhartt coats in the form of 11 guys that came to help out and just share his love with us because that's what we needed at the time. Second thing is that life's not always easy. God never promised us we'd have an easy life. He never said if you become a Christian, it's all easy sailing, it's all fine, he'll take care of everything. But he did promise he'd be there with us. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." He gives us those trials to strengthen us, to make us stronger, to make us better Christians, to help us to rely on him, to know how to rely on him, and how to be able to help other people when they're struggling with things too.